Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have Jeremy Lickness, a return visitor. Jeremy is a principal consultant with Wintellect. He's a Microsoft MVP, and he's one of the nicest people you're likely to meet. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Appreciate the compliment.
Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be here. Always enjoy being on your show, Jesse.
Well, thank you. Today we are going to talk about topics that I am really interested in and know very little about, and that is Angular and TypeScript. And let's start by saying, are they related or are they two just interesting disparate topics?
So they're related in the sense that they're both tools that can help teams work with JavaScript. So in that sense, there's no direct link between Angular and TypeScript, but they're both related to JavaScript, and they both can definitely help teams that are working with large applications or just large teams working on mid-size applications that involve a lot of JavaScript.
What about really large teams working on very small apps? No, I'm sorry. let's start with TypeScript, which is being described as a language, and yet there's always this sort of immediate reassurance that it's just JavaScript. Can we talk a little bit about what this is about?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it is a language. When people say it's just JavaScript, if it was just JavaScript, we wouldn't have to do anything with it to get JavaScript. But the way it works is pretty interesting. I mean, JavaScript's obviously been around for decades and has established itself as a force to be reckoned with. If someone's building a web-based application today, they're likely using a lot of JavaScript to make that happen. And, you know, some people, I think, confuse the language features of JavaScript with making it into a bad language. I don't necessarily think it's a bad language, but it doesn't play by the object-oriented rules that a lot of people are used to. It's a dynamic language. It's object-based, but it's not truly object-oriented. And so that translation can create a lot of challenges. And those challenges have been addressed in a number of ways over the years. There have been massive libraries built on top of JavaScript, even completely separate languages. So, you know, a language like CoffeeScript is a great example of a language that has its own syntax, its own way of dealing with it, and then compiles out to JavaScript. So what's unique about TypeScript is TypeScript also compiles out to JavaScript, but it's a superset of the language. So in other words, if you took just straight JavaScript and dropped it into CoffeeScript, it wouldn't function because there's a completely different syntax, whereas TypeScript uses JavaScript and then extends the syntax. Another interesting tidbit about TypeScript is that they're looking forward to future specifications, future versions of JavaScript that are coming down the pipeline and trying to conform to those specs. And what that means is there should be less disruption when new versions of JavaScript come out, because the way that you define classes and interfaces tries to follow in TypeScript the same way that that's being established in the JavaScript standard.
Okay, let me back up to the fundamentals here. TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript. So any valid JavaScript is valid TypeScript.
Correct.
Now, obviously, valid TypeScript is not necessarily valid JavaScript, but you're saying it compiles out to JavaScript?
That is correct. So what happens is you, on one side of the equation, build a TypeScript file, if you will, so a set of TypeScript code. Some of that code may be just pure JavaScript, so developers can pick it up fairly quickly. But then when you start to use some of the extended features, such as interfaces, such as classes, they just introduced generics, those obviously are not going to be direct JavaScript. And so then it goes through a compilation phase and outputs the JavaScript that supports that.
But for a C-sharp programmer who wants to come over to JavaScript, does TypeScript offer a more comfortable transition?
So I would say there's two sides to that coin. It may offer a more comfortable transition, But I would argue that it's very important to understand the nuances of the underlying language, if for no other reason than the fact that you tend to pull in third-party libraries and you might have to troubleshoot code that's not ported to TypeScript. So I think it is dangerous to rely on TypeScript simply as a tool to learn the language. I think it is very important to understand JavaScript, but what TypeScript does is tame JavaScript is the best way that I can describe it. So C# developers will be very familiar with some of the conventions TypeScript uses to annotate code, but those same conventions, I think, even for non-C# developers are going to be important, because what it does is it provides a way to enhance discovery. So when you're looking at APIs, for example, it's a lot easier to understand what the intention of that API is. And it also reduces the opportunity for an error. So if I'm constraining a parameter, for example, by an interface, well, a feature of JavaScript, it's not a bad thing about the language, it's a feature, but I can pretty much pass anything as a parameter, and it might have one property or 50 properties, and JavaScript doesn't care. It's up to me, the developer, to make sure I handle that. Well, with TypeScript, I can interface a parameter and say, look, this method is expecting this signature. It wants property and property B, and A has to be a string and B has to be a number. It doesn't change anything about the underlying JavaScript, but what it does is during development time, if I try to pass the wrong argument into that method, it's going to give me a compile time and a development time error. It's going to tell me right up front, hey, you made a mistake. And anyone who's worked with JavaScript knows that it's very easy, for example, to put the wrong case on a parameter name. So, you know, you forget to capitalize a single letter. JavaScript won't complain. It'll say, hey, that's fine. I'm a dynamic language. I can take that. But TypeScript will complain up front and help keep that code clean and fix errors before they happen out in production, basically.
Now, you said, and I certainly understand, that if you're going to be working with TypeScript, you need to understand the underlying language JavaScript for all the reasons that you mentioned. But this makes me hearken back to when I was learning C, and if you wanted to be a real expert in C, you really needed to understand assembly. And those days are over. If you can be a world-class C# programmer and not understand assembly anymore. And I'm wondering if you foresee a point where TypeScript becomes such a independent language that even though JavaScript is underlying that, that dependency, that intellectual dependency becomes diminished.
Well, I think what'll actually happen is the future versions of JavaScript will come to parity and implement natively some of the features that TypeScript brings to the table. So, for example, the ECMA 6 standard that's coming down is, you know, likely it's actually, I can't remember off the top of my head now if it's 5 or 6, but there's a spec for defining classes, a spec for defining interfaces. So I think what'll happen is it'll become less important to understand nuances that don't exist in the language now because they'll be a first class feature of the language. But I'll give you a really simple example of one way where it's important to understand the language itself. And in the C example, you might have had to understand memory management and even a little bit of assembly. And you could actually bring assembly into a C program, right? There's a directive and you could drop that in, and hopefully people would move more and more away from that. And eventually you're just dealing with the libraries. Well, in the JavaScript sense, I don't think there's so much dropping down to a lower level, but there are conventions. So there's a lambda type expression that you can use in TypeScript. So where in JavaScript, it's typically function, open parentheses, close parentheses, brace, and then the function, you can literally show the signature for the function. So A, B, C, D, and then an arrow that points to the brace, and define a function that way. There are two conventions for defining a function, but one of those conventions does it basically as a pass-through to JavaScript. The other adds some semantic sugar around the definition of that function, and most importantly, it captures something called this, right? There's this concept of a scope or what this is that in JavaScript is scoped to a function. So what happens is if I declare a function and I refer to something called this, it's usually referring to something local when I may have wanted to capture a value that's higher up in the chain. Well, TypeScript will do that automatically by creating a variable and assigning this to that variable. And then when you use this in that Lambda expression, it knows that you're really referencing the parent and does that automatically. It's very useful. It avoids a lot of issues. But in the long run, if you're not familiar with that nuance or that language feature of JavaScript, it might be a little difficult to understand how that's operating in the context of TypeScript. That's just one specific example I can think of.
Yes, but it makes it clear that you're not anytime soon going to become a TypeScript programmer and bypass JavaScript.
Right. I would just say from the sheer volume of third-party libraries that we interface with that it is important. And you can get away with it, but there's just so much going on with the DOM, with the client-side scripting, that understanding the language is important. But then what TypeScript does is it adds a layer of security, discovery, and really reduction of overhead. I would say it's a sort of secret sauce you can throw into the mix to make it easier to scale larger teams and build larger applications because of the extra features it provides.
Okay, you've mentioned discovery twice. Can you give me an example of where it helps with discovery?
Sure. So in a typical IDE, and of course there's you know, some IDEs that are specifically tailored to web development and JavaScript or not, but let's just take Visual Studio for an example. So Visual Studio can be smart enough to look at the types of JavaScript files that are included in what you're working with. And so let's say I want to call an API that's called foo. Well, I can do .foo, and the IDE is smart enough to inspect, find out where foo might be coming from, and tell me, you know, it looks like foo expects two parameters. It probably can't tell me what those parameters are or should look like. It might be able to give me the name of those parameters, but that's about all the information I have. With TypeScript, what I can do is when I define that method signature, I can create an interface. And in that interface, I can compose that interface of objects, of primitives, of different types. So maybe what I'm looking for is a contact card that should have a name that's a string value, and then some sort of number that is a number value. Well, I can define that signature, and then what happens is when I type that method name in the IDE, it's able not only to tell me, hey, we're expecting this type of object, it can show me the interface, and it can show me what the parameters of the interface are intended to be, which this becomes extremely powerful. For example, if we're using something like jQuery, if we're using something like API on Kendo, for example, to use one of their widgets or controls, to be able to see that, hey, this control is expecting a jQuery DOM element versus a string versus a number, it is extremely valuable to the developer who's trying to build and work with that API.
Yes, and that makes great sense, except that you lost me a little bit with jQuery, because jQuery would not be TypeScript. So is somebody writing a wrapper for that, or how is it doing that with jQuery?
Right. That's I'm glad you asked that, because that is another feature of TypeScript. So TypeScript has a ability for you to define existing APIs. So something might be written in pure JavaScript, but what I can do is create what's called a definition file. And in that definition file, I can describe what the API is expecting. So the API itself is just taking a parameter, it's manipulating it. But if I know that it's expected to be a DOM element or a number, I can describe the shape of that API. In fact, there's and I wish I had the link. What I'll do is I'll get it to you after this talk so we can post it up to the site.
Yep.
But there's a open source project that has libraries of these definitions for third-party libraries, whether it's Underscore, Backbone, jQuery. I believe Kendo produces their own set of definition files. But what happens is you just reference this file, and suddenly you have all this strongly typed information available to you. So even though the implementation is pure JavaScript, the definition at development time is strongly typed. So again, you can place a dot next to an object, see all the methods that are available, and see exactly what those methods are expecting.
That is truly great. And what is the, is there a development environment of choice for TypeScript programmers?
You know, the development environment I've worked with has consistently been Visual Studio. I have done some work in WebStorm. So if I'm doing a project that's just pure HTML and JavaScript code, WebStorm has support for TypeScript. But Visual Studio has a plugin. So there's two plugins, if you will. One is Web Essentials, which is an extension that you can go to the Library Extension Manager and install. So that's one piece. And then the other piece is going to the TypeScript site itself and installing their plugin for Visual Studio. But the combination of the two gives you a very solid development experience. If you want to configure it, you can have a split window that allows you to place your TypeScript source on the left and your JavaScript source on the right. And then as you modify the TypeScript and save it, the JavaScript that it outputs will update automatically for you. And it handles minified JavaScript. It handles map files that are needed for, you know, basically matching the JavaScript back to the source for debugging. So you can debug directly through the TypeScript source because these map files map the generated JavaScript back to it. So it's a very powerful IDE experience.
Extraordinary. Let me ask you, for the developers who are out there who have not started on TypeScript at all, and who, I keep going back to a friend of mine who's been working in ASP.NET, classic ASP.NET, for a number of years, hasn't made the move to MVC yet, and he's listening to this and he starts to get excited about this idea. Where does he begin?
So the TypeScript site itself, and I believe it's typescriptlang.org, but that site has a sandbox and a tutorial. That's a great place to start. And it's pretty straightforward. I like to tell this story. I was giving a talk at a conference about enterprise JavaScript. And what the talk was focused on is ways teams apply libraries, best practices, third-party plugins, basically any set of tools they can to maximize the performance of teams using JavaScript. So how do you scale the team out? How do you scale the application? And I had covered a lot of third-party libraries that make it easier to build heavy JavaScript applications. And TypeScript was literally released the week of the conference. So on the Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember which day it was released, I went out, grabbed the documentation, messed around with it, and said, you know what, I think this is going to be big. So I was able to take one of my source examples and completely convert that to TypeScript and add the interfaces and classes and modify it in time for my Friday talk, where I was actually able to demonstrate TypeScript as something feasible. So in that sense, I think there's a lot of information there. Wintellect, actually, we just launched a online training site, wintellectnow.com. I don't know if you've heard that news, but we've got courses that are coming on for Angular and TypeScript. And there's also plenty of videos on the web. If you just Google, there's plenty of people who have done talks and lectures and thrown those onto YouTube or other sources for you to follow online. So it's amazing how fast the community is evolved around TypeScript in just a short while.
Well, there's a whole side conversation about Anders and how he has this golden touch. And the man who invents, I believe he was involved in the invention of Turbo Pascal, certainly Delphi, C Sharp, now TypeScript. It's kind of scary.
It is. And it was, that was a big influencer. We said, hey, there's a great mind behind it. But I'll tell you what, for me, what was really eye-opening was I am on an extremely large project, and this is a multi-year project. We've got a team that's unlike any team I've worked with in 2 decades in IT. It's 9 senior developers, so it's not even split into mid, junior, whatever. We literally have just 9 senior people in a group grabbing pieces of functionality and building it. And we had been about 6 months into this project using traditional JavaScript when TypeScript was released. And we were in a transition phase where the project was shifting. We were basically narrowing the scope, breaking it off into more manageable phases. And so we had an opportunity to revisit, you know, what went well, what didn't go so well during the previous phase. And we looked at this and we said, you know, 9 people building heavy client-side code. It's a single-page application, which means a lot of client-side refreshes and manipulation of data. And we said it's just tough to manage that because JavaScript doesn't provide those development time and compile time checks that make it easier to refactor code, that make it easier to discover what someone else is doing with an API. So we looked at TypeScript and decided that, hey, we can go with it because even though it's in beta, it generates pure JavaScript. So let's say we decided to use the TypeScript 2 months down the road, we find out there's something flawed with it. Well, we just throw out TypeScript, take the generated JavaScript, use that, and move forward with that because it does emit very well formatted JavaScript. It's not some obscure type of minified JavaScript that you can't work with. So we made that decision, and it was a night and day difference. I mean, 2 weeks into adding TypeScript, we found it was just phenomenal. I mean, I can't tell you how incredible it is to define a set of functionality, to go to write JavaScript unit tests, and to be able to then refactor code. And because of TypeScript's development time checking of types, let's say we move something into a different object or we change the type, TypeScript tells us right there, hey, this file, this file, this file. So we're able to go make the changes, rerun the tests, and are running a lot faster with TypeScript in the project than we were without it.
Well, that is a great story that crystallizes the advantages of JavaScript. I want to talk to you about Angular before we run out of time, but you dropped this piece of information that, or this news that Wintellect is now beginning online training. And that's pretty big news. Is that going to be a growing part of Wintellect's business?
Oh, it's a huge part of our business. It's the third arm, if you will. So we have a in-person training group. We have a consulting group. That's the division I'm a part of. And then this new online is the third pillar. I mean, basically the company took a step back and said, you know, one of our unique qualities is with our consulting division. We are in the weeds in large companies with large projects working on just some incredible technologies. You know, I just told you about this great project where we're using both Angular and TypeScript. And so the idea was, you know, there's a lot of videos out there that we might call the 101 level videos, and there's advanced videos too, but we feel like there's a strong opportunity to specialize in putting more advanced videos out there, tapping into some of the courses that they do online and in person and leveraging that for online, but also just taking experience from the trenches. And I think that's really key, is not just looking at a framework and speaking to the API, but also speaking to experience from the trenches. I got to contribute my enterprise JavaScript talk there where I speak very much from having run and participated in these projects, and I'm speaking to the things that we learn work and the things that don't work to help people understand how to put together the sets of technologies that they need. But we'll be covering things like Angular, like TypeScript, there's threading, there's Windows 8. So lots of exciting content coming out at a very, very rapid pace.
Great. That's great. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on that. And let me ask you about Angular. It was one of the topics that you had mentioned that you were very involved with right now. And maybe you can, all I know about Angular is that it's yet another library for JavaScript.
Yeah, I talk about TypeScript and how it brings some of that structure, discovery, et cetera. Refactoring is amazing. Angular to me is XAML for the web, is the easiest way I can say that. So coming from a Silverlight background, my history was very heavy web development. So I was doing heavy JavaScript client-side code before there were even a ton of libraries out there. In fact, I was building these complex Ajax-style applications before we even had jQuery. So we still had these exhaustive libraries just to figure out which browser we were running in. And when Silverlight came along, it changed the game, and I realized that we could build these line of business apps in a much more rapid, stable fashion, scale teams easier, get product out the door. And so I shifted, and it's sort of come full circle from Silverlight and what was, I guess, powerful about WPF Silverlight and is still powerful today in Windows 8 is that XAML provides that separation between the design and the development. So through data binding, you can basically define a UI, and all you have to know is that there's certain properties being exposed by a model somewhere, and you can create design time data, so on and so forth. And then on the development side, instead of worrying about the presentation logic, am I going to do a fade or a zoom? What font is this going to be? Is this implemented as a drop down or a combo box or a look ahead? You can think in terms of presenting a list or a property and expose it in a way that you can test that and then data bind to it, and then it sort of glues together and comes together. And that was sorely lacking in the web. I mean, it was a point. There's a lot of different approaches and solutions to that. Angular's definitely not the only solution. But I found in some projects, for example, using jQuery, you end up with dozens of lines of code that are just DOM manipulation. I need to find this element, I need to traverse to this child, and I need to pick this out so I can get this value. Now, jQuery makes it really easy to do that across browsers and to do it with fewer lines of code, but you're still sort of mixing and muddling together and going out, and I'm now dependent on a div existing with a certain name, for example, or a certain ID. Data binding takes that out of the equation. You can bind to anything that can take the value. So if I expose a string, then data binding doesn't care if I'm going to bind that to a span or a div or an input box, really. And so it gives me a nice separation of concerns. And that's what Angular does. So Angular provides a declarative way to bind HTML to your underlying JavaScript through, if you will, it's like a view model, to use a phrase that XAML developers are familiar with. But it also provides things that we're used to with XAML, such as extensibility and flexibility. So there's a concept in Angular of a directive, and a directive allows me to create my own HTML tag. And it's, again, it works in all browsers because it's the Angular library that actually interprets that element and turns it into something. But just as a simple example, we use a Kendo list view, and it's a nice box that you can put a list of items in and pick an item. It's a pretty common pattern on the web. And when you spin that up, Kendo provides a lot of options and flexibility, styling, multi-select, single select, or whatever. You could have a dozen places where you're spinning up this item in a similar way. And we looked at the app and we said, we're almost always using it the same way. We have a set of data, we're binding it, we have a selected data item, so on and so forth. So I can now build this directive, and in one tag, basically, you know, app-kendo-listview, I can drop it in, and it does all the underlying wiring up and standing up of that for me. So it cuts down on the ritual and ceremony. It also makes it nice because if there's an issue with the way I'm interfacing with that control, I only have to fix it in one place. Everywhere else just refers to the directive. There's also something called a filter, which XAML developers will look at as an I-value converter. So a filter just takes data in and puts data out. So now let's say I have a specific date format. I no longer have to worry about, you know, am I going to manipulate it here, there, this layer, that layer. I can surface my dates as just native date objects. And then in the UI, I can apply the date filter and put the logic in that date filter that I want to display it in the format that the user is looking for.
That sounds extremely powerful. Can you help me understand, is Angular similar to Knockout, or are they very different?
So they are similar. They do similar things. For example, in Knockout, you can create a observable, and then that observable is basically your view model. It has everything needed to perform data binding. You can have computed functions, for example, so if you have a dependency on two fields, so on and so forth. Where Angular differs, though, is Knockout's a more ground-up approach, so I'm explicitly defining a model that I'm going to interact with. Angular does something called dirty checking, which what that means is it will look at a object and memorize all the properties on that object, and then listen for changes, and then trigger data binding through those changes. What that means is any object is bindable in Angular. So in other words, if I go to a REST endpoint and pull back a list of widgets, I don't have to wrap those widgets in anything special to bind them to my UI. I can directly take them and bind them. So Angular adds a few other things that Knockout just doesn't have. I don't believe Knockout has the ability to compile the new HTML tags that Angular has. So that was a pretty powerful feature. At the end of the day, they're both data binding, and they both solve this problem I was talking about, you know, separating the actual UI and design of the UI from the logic that sits behind the UI. So they both do it. They do it in a slightly different way. And Angular's way is very declarative, but it's also very extensible.
Jeremy Lickness, talking to you is exactly what people mean when they talk about sucking on a fire hose. It is a tremendous amount of information, and I very much appreciate it. I will not let you go without mentioning your book, Building Windows 8 Apps with C# and XAML, which is released and available and direct competition to my forthcoming book, but nonetheless, a brilliant book. And how can people find out more? Can we put some links on the website for some of this information?
Absolutely. I will get you links for the TypeScript, the Angular, and the Building Windows 8 Apps book as well, so we can get all those links and put them up. I'll also get the link out for WinElect.com, which is the online on-demand training from WinElect.
Fantastic. I can't thank you enough for doing this. This was brilliant.
You're very welcome. It's exciting technology. It actually has allowed me to keep, if I had hair on my head, I would be able to keep it. I wouldn't be tugging at it anymore, because JavaScript can be very frustrating. And the combination of TypeScript and Angular has just saved me a ton of frustration. It's amazing. It's almost as exciting as Silverlight was, but not quite.